This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Strikes were successful. The pilots and aircraft return back to base safely.
That Secretary of Defense Mark Esper discussing a U.S.-led military strike in Iraq and Syria targeting an Iranian-backed Iraqi militia blamed for a rocket attack that killed an American contractor.
The targets we attacked included three targets in western Iraq and two targets in eastern Syria that were either command and control facilities or weapons caches for Kitab Hezbollah.
Hundreds of people were celebrating in the streets of Monsey, New York last night, a night after a man with a machete attacked people at a Hanukkah party in a rabbi's home there. About 300 people from the Light of Life Synagogue celebrated the dedication of a new Torah just blocks from the house where those five people were stabbed. This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Georgia Congressman John Lewis getting a lot of love after announcing he's battling pancreatic cancer. Former President Obama saying he knows Lewis has an incomparable will to fight. Former President Bill Clinton echoing that sentiment, saying if anyone has the courage and the strength to fight that disease, it's the 79-year-old civil rights icon. 2019 saw fewer law enforcement fatalities in the line of duty from the year before. The National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund saying that as of December 27th, 128 federal, state, and local officers had died while on duty. That's an 18% drop from 2018's 157 fatalities. A weather system hammering parts of the Midwest with heavy snow and now heading east. It's to pick up steam over the next few days, bringing snow and ice to New England and rain to the Mid-Atlantic. And this is USA Radio News.
If you're not sleeping as good as you should, take a tip from me, Wyatt Cox. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and use my promo code USA. Buy one, get one free special on a MyPillow is going on right now. And if you don't like it, you got 60 days to send it back. Try it. You believe it's for me, it's worked for over 2 years, and it'll work for you too. MyPillow.com, Radio Listener Special, and use my promo code USA on a MyPillow premium pillow.
In a Gallup survey, the government has been named as the most important problem facing our country. USA's John Clemens reports.
Gallup presented a number of choices for the concerns of Americans, ranging from the economy, immigration, and for national security. But the government was at the top of the list for the third straight year at 27%. That is up over last year when it stood at 22%. When Gallup questioned respondents about their party affiliation, as expected, the Democrats blamed President Trump, while the Republicans blamed the U.S. Congress for its dysfunctional actions in general, as well as the Democrats in the U.S. Congress. I'm John Clemens.
An actress and deaf activist is highlighting the challenges of in-flight accessibility after a frustrating experience. USA's John Hunt reports.
Switched at birth actress Marley Matlin called out Delta Airlines on Twitter for its lack of accessibility for deaf and hard of hearing passengers, drawing attention to the challenges to those with disabilities while traveling. Her tweet said, "Sad to see that my preferred airline Delta Flight 1998 has provisions for various languages and audio description for in-flight entertainment, but no closed captions for deaf and hard-of-hearing flights. She used the hashtag NoAccess and ADA compliance. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
I took my family on a vacation like the one you're about to hear about, and we had an amazing time. And the best part about it was the price.
If you're looking for an amazing, fun-filled vacation for you and your family for an unbelievable price, keep listening for details on how you can get a fabulous four-day vacation for just $99. Westgate Resorts has been a leader in affordable vacation plans since 1982, and now you can choose from over 10 beautiful resort destinations across the United States, like Orlando, Florida, or the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. So whether you love world-famous theme parks or the tranquility of nature, Westgate Resorts has your next dream vacation. Plus, if you're one of the first 100 to call, we'll tell you about our $29 Las Vegas special. Call right now to book your amazing vacation for only $99.
800-883-1612. 800-883-1612. Call 800-883-1612. This advertisement is being used for the purpose of soliciting sales of a timeshare plan. Restrictions apply. Go to westgateterms.com for complete offer terms.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. That is our focus, to get this country back on track. And as we maintain it, it starts with liberty. It starts with freedom. I'm Bill Martinez at 6 minutes after the top of the hour. And speaking of which, as I'd mentioned to you earlier, Arthur Brooks is joining us. He's the president of the American Enterprise Institute. And we're going to be talking about his soon-to-be-released documentary, ThePursuitMovie.com. It'll be in theaters on April the 29th. Arthur Brooks, I've been looking forward to this opportunity to talk with you because so much of what you believe in is what, you know, my father has been drilling into us kids. And I find that your movie is so appropriate because it clarifies what is going on in our country today and this battle between socialism and capitalism. Welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be on your show and to talk about not just this movie, but the ideas that are behind it. You know, for people are seeing right now a real assault on the free enterprise system from the point of view of socialism. And that's an incredible opportunity. You know, people think it's awful. It's not awful. You know, when we can have an open conversation about what will serve the people at the margins of our society best, what will lift up the poor. I'm for that all day long. And so I'm just so happy that we're having this debate today.
Well, and this has been your passion, as you outlined in the movie. This has been something that was impressed upon you by accident. A trip, that you end up in a poverty area. For me, I remember as a young kid, my grandparents lived outside of Tijuana, and going across the border and seeing people living out of cardboard boxes was extremely disturbing, and that image remains with me in much the same way that image that has captured your imagination has driven your passion over the years.
For sure, yeah. And one of the things that I do when people go see The Pursuit, the movie, they'll see that, you know, when I was 19 years old and I was on tour as a musician, I wound up getting stranded in a slum in southern India, and it set off a lifelong interest for me in, you know, the causes and consequences of poverty that's hard for us to imagine in the United States, and just the search for the solution to that in a very big way is what led me to the free enterprise movement. You know, a lot of people who are interested in capitalism, it's about business, it's about, you know, they'll make very militant claims about how it's, you know, it's not the fairness argument, and all these things are pretty true, but the reason I'm in the movement is because I want poor people to be less poor. I want people to live in greater lives of dignity, and so the debate between socialism and capitalism today is very welcome so that we can find the best way to serve our brothers and sisters.
Exactly. Well, and as you report in the movie and document in the movie, something happened in India to the point that, you know, poverty has been reduced by 80%. And you go, whoa, what happened in India? I mean, here in America in 1964, as you'll recall, it was Lyndon Baines Johnson, the war on poverty. And all these years later, $22 trillion invested on the war on poverty. We've gone from 15% to 15.1%. That would tell you not a good investment.
Not a great investment. And, you know, the truth is that poverty since 1964 has changed a good deal. It's much easier to live below the poverty line in America, thank God. That's mostly because capitalism has introduced all sorts of ways to make life easier. The problem is that poverty is not more escapable than it was in 1964. Mm-hmm. When you look around the world, exactly, where poverty is not just terrible for people, it's actually deadly. You'll see that 80% of starvation level poverty has been wiped out. And the reason for it is very, very simple. It's globalization and free trade, property rights, the rule of law, the culture of entrepreneurship. It was the American free enterprise system spreading around the world, which indeed is our gift to the world. If we want to lift up people in America, help them earn their success, then we need to remember that the true meaning of capitalism is to draw in the people that are like our ancestors, the ambitious riffraff that want to build their lives.
You know, Arthur, you bring up a good point here. When you talk about globalization of the planet, people resist that right now because the word has been hijacked and aberrated, just like capitalism to some degree. It has been force-fit into an agenda that is driving something that is not true to its premise. Would you agree with that?
I do, and it's a big problem. This is not just a problem on the political left, it's also on the political right, where people are vilified for having a globalist mentality. We should celebrate a globalist mentality. The truth is that there are 2 billion people that would have starved to death or been desperately poor who are not. And the reason is because of the globalization of American ideas and American values. Really, our gift to the world requires that we be globalists in a very big way. People are worried that this means sort of a dominant global order or getting rid of our national sovereignty. No, no. It's the way that we can share our values. And we should be fighting for that because we are our brother's keeper.
Exactly. And I think it was quite interesting in the movie, in the documentary, The Pursuit Movie, where you can go to thepursuitmovie.com for more information. As I said, it's going to be in theaters on April the 29th. In looking at India, you see where America was a century ago. I mean, it is kind of you see the evolution of the capitalistic roots growing in India, where they, you know, like America, you know, thought, okay, well, hey, let's do what seems to be fair. The early pilgrims, when they first came here, said, hey, you know, they approached it socialistically, and it didn't take them long to figure out that there were some people that weren't willing to work. But once they gave them property and gave them responsibility, they started to be productive, supply for themselves, and the misery index, interestingly enough, went from very high to very low, and the happiness ratio increased proportionately.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing that we've been able to uncover in the United States. I mean, people have a tendency to think if you want to alleviate poverty, you need more charity, and you know, charity's great. I believe it'll help get us to heaven, but you need a system that works while you sleep. You need to fight for that system, not on your own behalf. That's just because you don't want to pay taxes or you just don't want the government to grow. Fine, if that's your values. You got to fight for it because there are people out there that don't have the level of opportunity that you do. It is true. It's interesting. You know, when I try in this movie, in the Pursuit movie, I'm in slums in India. I'm walking all over the world talking to people who are trying to pull themselves out of poverty. And the scene that you see in Indian slums today, it looks just like New York City in 1910 in the garment district or in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And what it makes you remember is, you know, those people, they are us separated by time. These are our brothers and sisters. These are our American roots, just in a different country.
Mm. And interesting, the gentleman that escorted you and that you interviewed in talking about, you know, American, the people in the West would look at that and go, they look rather poor. But he's going, look at they're enterprising. They're having the time of their life. And so maybe one man's perception of poverty is different altogether, especially in India, because here they are vibrant. They are enjoying freedom and a way of life that I think is quite liberating if you have eyes to see it.
That's exactly right. So people go to thepursuitmovie.com. They can figure out where to watch it and how to get it on iTunes.
We're going to talk more about, you know, about socialism and the rise of socialism, why it's become, you know, the hot topic these days, and why people look to Sweden and say, look, at they're the perfect example. Don't look to Venezuela, look to Sweden. Well, Arthur Brooks has an answer for that, too. He's the president of AEI. We're talking about his new documentary, which is coming up April 29th.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about. Providing for your family, even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection. And you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers. And their agents are experts in helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free, no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
Poor digestion can lead to many unpleasant symptoms that can wreak havoc on your happiness. Don't suffer in silence. Get Quantum Nutrition Lab's Quantum Digest, the most potent and pure source of vegetarian enzymes to support the digestion of proteins, carbohydrates, fat, fiber, and dairy. Quantum Digest. Don't eat cooked food without it. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life.
Bill Martinez. Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way you like us, fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Our conversation with Arthur Brooks, president of the American Enterprise Institute, continues. We're talking about his new documentary, which is coming to theaters on April the 29th. You have to see this movie. It is liberating on so many levels and will help you understand what's going on. The name of the movie is The Pursuit Movie. You can go to the website, thepursuitmovie.com, for all the details. Again, it'll be in theaters on April the 29th. Save the date. Make sure you get there. Do not go to the movie alone, by the way. Bring a friend, and especially one that maybe you may not agree with, because maybe you might find yourself for the first time, instead of being ready to debate, you might be more ready to listen. And Arthur Brooks, I think this is what you bring to this process, is that you're giving people a platform so that their voices can be heard. Because right now, in the political spectrum, it's real easy and responsive to resist socialism. And we're missing out on something if we're not listening to the other side to hear the pain of what they're trying to communicate. And if we don't listen to other people's pain, then you're dealing with a lot of anger and frustration, which is very symptomatic of our political environment today, is it not?
For sure. Look, I mean, one of the things that all of us who are in the ideas world want is to be more persuasive. And, you know, you look around in America, nobody's persuading anybody. All sides are locked down. The left is not persuading the right. The right is not persuading the left. And the reason for that is because we're treating each other with contempt. We're saying that if you disagree with me, you're stupid and evil. That's insane. Every single person listening to us loves somebody with whom they disagree politically. 93% of Americans hate how divided we've become as a country. It's time for us to recognize that we have a lot of common moral purposes. It's not okay. Most of the people who listen to you religiously, I mean, you're a famous guy on the radio, and a lot of people are conservatives. But they know in their hearts that people who are running for president on the Democratic side, they're not Stalinists. They may have mistaken ideas, but they don't want to come to your house and arrest you. That's all of that hyperbole that we hear. It makes it impossible for us to listen to each other, and so therefore nobody will listen to us. And look, we got to talk about capitalism, because we have to lift people up at the margins of society. Showing we're right and being militant and angry, it's just not getting the job done, because there are poor people out there who need us. There are people at the periphery who actually need our ideas. So let's listen to each other. Maybe we'll make progress.
Why the rise of socialism in the conversation right now?
That has a lot to do with the financial crisis and the legacy of that. You know, going back to 2008, people became very jaundiced about the fact that it appeared that the capitalist system had broken down. Now, it turns out it's a lot more complicated than that. Financial crises, they tend to happen a couple of times a century. And the biggest problem that no economist has figured out is how you create even economic growth for the 10 years afterwards. Generally speaking, economic growth is extremely uneven, going mostly to the top 20% of the income distribution. Well, that creates a ferment. That creates an ecosystem that lends itself to the rise of socialist ideas. They're always there. And that's our opportunity. We have to look at that as a big ideological entrepreneurial opportunity for us, with joy, with aspiration, to say, you know, how do you serve each other? How do you earn your success? It's not less capitalism. It's more capitalism pushed all the way to the margins, and then showing exactly how we can do that.
How can we do that without government interference? Because, as you cited in India, they learned through the process, and I appreciate that they were wise enough to say, okay, you know, they're working through the process, and it was okay for them to make adjustments. Here in America, for some reason, you know, like Ronald Reagan says, the closest thing to eternal life is a bureaucracy, is that once it gets fixed in the American system, it's hard to get rid of it.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it is hard to get rid of government programs once they're lodged in there. Fortunately, we're not even close to the levels of statism and collectivism that was going on in India until about 1991. India, as most Americans don't realize, India was a Soviet-style planned economy. It was much closer to the Soviet Union than it was the United States during the Cold War. They were basically, there was a Marxist mentality after independence in the late 40s in India, and so they were desperate. Literally, people were starving. starving to death. Hundreds of people, hundreds of millions of people starved to death unnecessarily. So it was really existential. It was life or death. For us, it's a matter of losing opportunities that we don't need to lose. And so one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that we don't have to say no government. We don't have to be super radical or anarchists about this. We just have to recognize that the welfare state, which is great because it can pull people out of poverty, which is a really good thing, it should always be based on the ideas of work, on dignity, and making people needed. And that's exactly what we're not doing right now.
Arthur, did America make a big mistake in the 30s when it took the churches out of the game of supporting, you know, the poor and just marginalizing the church's influence? Somehow the government came in and said, we can't have the churches so involved because, welfare, started, and now here we have generations of welfare recipients. And in looking back over what we have done, did we serve the poor better or less as a result?
Well, it's a good question, and I personally believe that you can have a welfare state, you can have a government-run welfare state alongside private charity, and I'm glad that we do have a welfare state. The problem that I have is with the design of that welfare state. When people go to watch The Pursuit, when they go to watch this movie, they're going to meet people who've had a hard time. They've been out of work for a long time. We go to a little town in Kentucky called Inez, which is where LBJ kicked off the war on poverty. And we talk to a family, and they say that the problem with the welfare system is that people get hold of it, and they can't get a job. They lose their skills, and they become very, very dependent. So for my money, I'm not a radical on this. I think we live in a really rich country, and I like Friedrich Hayek, the great conservative libertarian economist, who said that that's one of the jobs in an advanced country is providing a basic standard of living. But you got to do it based on American values, which is to make people needed, which is tying it to work, which is remembering that everybody has equal dignity. The problem is that we've gone from needing poor people in this country to helping poor people. We've gone from seeing them as assets to seeing them as liabilities. And that's the mistake that we need to correct. We don't need to get rid of the welfare state. We just need to remember that it should be consistent with real American values.
Yeah, and does it raise them out of poverty? As you noted in India and in other cultures, yes, it took an investment of time, maybe a generation, but you've got a generation of people being lifted out, and there is a system in which to do that. And capitalism, like no other form of economy in the world that I'm aware of, is able to do that when it's given its free rein, is it not?
It's absolutely the case. Capitalism is a miraculous system. The free enterprise system in particular, capitalism has a connotation of being just free markets. The free enterprise system understands that certain markets do fail, that we need some intervention as a society. But more importantly, the thing for everybody to remember is that markets aren't enough. Markets don't do what we want them to do unless they're based on our morals. Capitalism is just a machine. It's like a car. You can use your car for good, you can use your car for ill. Markets are the same thing. Capitalism is the same thing. We'll use it for good or we'll use it for ill, but it's based on, you have to base it on your sense of solidarity and brotherhood and, care for the other and the aspiration and inspiration that we want to take to build something good and true.
Exactly. Arthur, one final question here as we wrap things up. We got about a minute left here. People argue, say, well, look at what's happening in Denmark. They're a great example of socialism. What's the truth of that?
The truth of that is that Denmark is awesome. It's a nice place and people are pretty happy, but we don't want to live there. It's like Minnesota or the Pacific Northwest where a lot of Scandinavians live or former Scandinavians live. They left those places because they wanted to be in a more entrepreneurial place. You can't thrive in Denmark if you're a weirdo, if you're super religious or have, a bunch of kids, you're just really ambitious. And so this is a country for the oddballs, for the riffraff. If you want to be like everybody else, then Scandinavia's great. But if you're not, stay in America.
Well, Arthur Brooks' movie, documentary, April the 29th, nationwide, The Pursuit. It's theatrical and digital release. Arthur, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot.
Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40.
Dan Perkins here with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. There is a growing concern among service members and their families about various blood, prostate, and urinary tract cancers. Navy Commander Mike Crosby, founder of Veterans Prostate Awareness, said we don't know what the cause is. That study has yet to be done. So here's your veterans tip of the day. Go to vetsprostate.org. That's vetsprostate.org and check it out. Remember, an early diagnosis increases the survival rate. This has been your songs and stories, veterans tip of the day.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Strikes were successful. The pilots and aircraft returned back to base safely.
That's Secretary of Defense Mark Esper discussing a U.S.-led military strike in Iraq and Syria targeting an Iranian-backed Iraqi militia blamed for a rocket attack that killed an American contractor.
The targets we attacked included three targets in western Iraq and two targets in eastern Syria that were either command and control facilities or weapons caches for Kitab Hezbollah.
Hundreds of people were celebrating in the streets of Muncie, New York last night, a night after a man with a machete attacked people at a Hanukkah party in a rabbi's home there. About 300 people from the Light of Life Synagogue celebrated the dedication of a new Torah just blocks from the house where those five people were stabbed. This is USA Radio News.
Hi everyone, Wayne Alarus. Listen carefully to another great offer on one of the most sought-after assets on earth. The world of political turmoil just gets crazier and crazier. Impeachment hearings, China trade wars, Fed money pumping, which are creating bubbles that could burst any day now. With one exception, gold and silver, which are currently undervalued and have excellent growth potential in 2020. So here's another irresistible offer to help you cash in on asset protection while you still can. My sponsor, Swiss America, is willing to ship my listeners another popular silver coin, the U.S. Peace Dollar, for just $16.50 each delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. This is an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling 800-289-2646. Write it down. 800-289-2646. Get your supply of silver U.S. Peace Dollars for just $16.50 each delivered. 800-289-2646 or go to SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Let the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky.
A little seasonal music to keep us in the mood here. How you doing? Good to have you along with us. Hope you're enjoying a blessed day. It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Been looking forward to this next discussion and the two authors of this new book called The Suspect, An Olympic Bombing, the FBI, the media, and Richard Jewell, the man caught in the middle. For many of us, we've been seeing the trailer of the Clint Eastwood movie that's going to be out next week about the story of Richard Jewell. And this book was a contributing source to the movie. And I want to welcome the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Georgia at the time of the 1996 Olympics and veteran Wall Street Journal reporter and editor. And they're here to talk about the story of this Olympic bombing. Kent Alexander and Kevin Sullivan, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. How are you?
Thanks, Bill. Doing well.
Well, let's start with you, Kent, as the Northern District of Georgia AG, or your U.S. attorney at the time of the bombing. How did this story, I mean, you're there, so you're seeing this and you're going, wait a minute, this has to really be brought out, because though this went through the normal cycles, I think if you ask people today about Richard Jewell, they really still are not fully connected to the real story and what happened to Richard Jewell.
Sure. Well, just looking back 23 years ago now, it was 1996. The Olympics were in Atlanta. There was a bombing in the middle of the Olympics in Centennial Park. 50,000 people were there. And because of Richard Jewell, who discovered this package before there was a blast, only two people died, 100 injured, but it could have been way worse. So he went from hero to villain in a matter of a couple of days, and I was behind the scenes with the FBI as they were investigating. Kevin, my co-author, will talk in a minute, was heading the Wall Street Journal coverage for the Southeast, and both of us thought it was such an interesting story of how things went terribly wrong when Richard Jewell, in fact, turned out to be the hero at the end of the day. So we decided to write about it in sort of novel-like form and in a suspense way, and we're happy to work with Clint Eastwood and his team on their movie.
Yeah, what a great story and a tragedy all at the same time that you bring out in the book, the movie as well. Kevin, for you as a veteran Wall Street Journal reporter, as the events are unfolding here, what is the combination of the facts in your guts telling you at the time?
Well, you know, Bill, there was tremendous pressure on all sides to find out who was the bomber. You know, this was, as Ken mentioned, this was an enormous event. This was the largest peacetime event in history, the Olympics of 1996. There were 197 nations there. 2 million people had flocked into Atlanta. And there was tremendous pressure on all sides, law enforcement, the media, the Olympics organizers, to try to figure out, right, who did this heinous crime of setting off a bomb in what was essentially the town square of the 1996 Olympic Games.
Exactly. Well, Kent, you know, let's put this in context and remind everybody, 1996, where our country was psychologically. I mean, we had already had some domestic attacks. And was the Olympic Committee, was the city of Georgia on guard for this potential attack?
Yeah, just to remind your listeners, you had Oklahoma City not long before. You had Waco. Mm-hmm. Domestic terrorism was on the rise. You had the first World Trade Center bombing. This was well before 9/11, 5 years before 9/11.
Exactly.
But to answer your question, were we prepared? We spent, when I say we, law enforcement spent well over 2 years in Atlanta and Washington preparing for these games, knowing that there could be an attack either from at home or from abroad. So at the games themselves, there were 30,000 security personnel, including law enforcement and including people like Richard Jewell. So, yeah, there's a huge amount of planning that went into this, as happens at every game and will happen in Tokyo in this coming year.
Kevin, give us a bit of a TikTok here, if you can. Olympic Park and the moments before the bomb blast, as you reported, Richard Jewell saw a suspicious bag. His instinct said, there's a problem here. Go ahead and give us a rundown.
Yeah, Richard later kind of humorously says his seventh sense really told him that there was something that was wrong. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he decided just to skip over the sixth sense. But, you know, Richard was he was not your typical security guard where you just often think it's just someone sitting on a chair, not caring very much. Richard had had two law enforcement jobs, including as a deputy sheriff in a rural Georgia county, and had had kind of bad experiences with both, had essentially gotten fired from both jobs, and was in between law enforcement jobs, but he was a certified police officer of the state of Georgia, and so he was more vigilant than most security guards would typically be. And in the middle of the night, he spots this Alice pack, this military style backpack, sitting in the dark under one of the dark green benches. And the FBI would later know this bench as Bench A. And Richard decides, okay, this pack should not be there. He tries to find out the owner of the pack. He reaches out to Tom Davis of the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and together they tried to find the owner of the pack. They're unable to do so, and so they move to the higher level of urgency. They call it in as a suspicious package. And by the way, I should note that there had been, that this was suspicious package number, not suspicious package, but this was bomb threat number 104 of the Olympic Games. We were only on day 8.
Wow.
And, so you know, the Olympics are a kind of place that brings out, you know, the crazies and the weird and and that kind of thing.
It's and of course, and you got 50,000 people there at Olympic Park. I mean, right? I mean, you got a concert. Jack Mack and the Heart Attack are getting ready to play. So you've got a throng of people concentrating in Olympic Park.
Yeah, and just to add on to
go ahead.
To add on to Kevin, so on the TikTok, it's the early morning. It goes from day 8 to day 9. Early Saturday morning, it's about 12:55 a.m. Richard Jewell spots this pack. They try to find somebody, try to find who owns it. He and another agent, an agent named Tom Davis. 12:57, Tom Davis calls it in as a suspicious package, and they start the whole process to check it out. 12:58, there's a 911 call that goes in a few blocks from a payphone a few blocks away. With the real bomber saying there's a bomb in Centennial Park, you have 30 minutes. There's no address in the 911 system. The police don't know where to go. The bomb techs crawl up. They take out a pen light. They take a look at this. They see pipes and wires. Law enforcement gathers, pushing people away. Jack Mack and the Heart Attack, the band you mentioned, Bills, playing in the background. People are just getting into the music. It's a party. It's a big party. And the law enforcement folks are talking about evacuating the park, and they're huddling just before the bomb goes off, and they were pushing people away. The bomb goes off, and it was just pandemonium. Ambulances, fire trucks. It was a moment that some people forget about in history, but at the time, it captured the world's attention.
Exactly. And Kevin, Richard Jewell, as you had said earlier, had this sense and the sense of urgency to get people out of harm's way. And so he was doing everything he could as, you know, speaking of the clock, as the clock is ticking here, because now we're down to minutes, right?
Yes, we're, you know, Richard doesn't know about the 30 minutes call. Nobody in the park knows about the 30 minutes call. The 911 call that Kent mentioned. And, you know, what he knows is that as these, as the ATF and FBI agents have crawled toward this pack with a pen light, as Kent described, opened up the bag, in fact, slightly breaking protocol, looking in it and crawling out as expletive slow as molasses in wintertime, as
Later
described it. And he realizes this is
exactly
real.
Well, we've got to go to break. We're going to pick it up from there when we come back.
Poor digestion can lead to many unpleasant symptoms that can wreak havoc on your happiness. Don't suffer in silence. Get Quantum Nutrition Lab's Quantum Digest, the most potent and pure source of vegetarian enzymes to support the digestion of proteins, carbohydrates, fats, fiber, and dairy. Quantum Digest. Don't eat cooked food without it. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Looking for high-speed internet where you live but are out of reach of cable and fiber options? Look no further. High-speed internet is now available in your area. As your local authorized HughesNet retailer, Whole Home Connect makes it easy to get the high-speed internet you need with blazing fast speeds, unlimited data with no hard data limits, with built-in Wi-Fi for as little as $2 a day. Act now and for a limited time, get free standard installation and free equipment with HughesNet from Whole Home Connect. You'll enjoy internet service that lets you do more of everything you want to do online, like shopping, surfing, and staying in touch. Call Whole Home Connect and see for yourself why HughesNet is America's number one choice for satellite internet.
800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. That's 800-696-6902.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes. See Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
It's all about freedom, ladies and gentlemen, and we're glad that you're here to fight the good fight with us at 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and our conversation continues with the authors of the new book, Suspect, which was a contributing source to the movie that's coming out next week about Richard Jewell, the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Georgia at the time of the 96 Olympics, and veteran Wall Street Journal reporter and editor, are talking story with us right now on this Olympic bombing, the FBI, the media, Richard Jewell, the man caught in the middle. Kevin, I believe we left off with you and or Kent that you had police are coming in, they're checking out. You had a brave one of the brave individuals decide to go and out of protocol unzip the bag and realize in fact we got a bomb here.
Yeah, and Bill, what happens then is that Richard Jewell races into the tower. Mm-hmm. He pushes out the people who are working in that tower. That's the sound and light tower that he's responsible for the stage next door and for some television. And so it's technicians and it's sound engineers and it's light people. And there's 11 people in that tower. And he races up there, gets them out of that tower, and then helps to create the perimeter that that is protecting the people. They're trying to push back this partying crowd of 50,000 and pushing back. And law enforcement then gathers and tries to decide, you know, should we evacuate the park? They've already called the bomb squad from Dobbins Air Force Base about 20 minutes away. Mm. And now the sense of urgency has really ratcheted up.
Right.
And of course, the bomb explodes. And, as Kent said earlier, because of the work of Richard Jewell, Tom Davis from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and a number of other really brave law enforcement people, the result is that only one person dies on the spot. Another, a Turkish cameraman later dies of a heart attack racing to film the scene.
Right.
And 111 people are injured, but it would have been scores more.
Without a doubt.
Had it not been for the work of Richard Jewell and the others.
Kent, you said that this was not the only bomb threat. There were over 100 bombings. We're day 8 of the Olympic activity and the celebration. And this is something the public was unaware of, that there were so many bomb threats, but this one was the real deal.
Yeah, they actually deployed the bomb team from Dobbins Air Force Base, which Kevin mentioned, 103 times already. And so this is 104th, and there were a lot more bomb threats after that because they went up quite a bit once this happened. So, and unfortunately, the public happily doesn't have to experience this much, but when you're behind the scenes with law enforcement, you deal with this with every Olympics and every major event there is. Bomb threats are just so common, but they don't turn into bombs very often, but when they do, it makes for scary Private Ryan type scenarios, and this was just horrible. It was devastation after this bomb went off.
Well, Kevin, our society, our culture has been so conditioned by instant gratification. And of course, they want to know right away who did it, and in this rush to judgment, you have a situation that turned on its head so quickly. Here you have Richard Jewell celebrated as a hero one moment, and in a matter, of a couple of days now, he's the culprit? The alleged culprit?
There were many reasons. There were many reasons why law enforcement should have looked at Richard Jewell. You know, you always look at the person who finds the bomb and and reports it. And, you know, there was in 1984 at the Olympics in Los Angeles, there was a similar looking type of hoax in which a police officer found on the Turkish team bus a bomb, picked up the package, ran down the tarmac at LAX, and protected the team. He was cited as a hero, and then everyone figured out it was a complete hoax. The bomb was a fake. And so you had that incident. Then you had several other elements of Richard Jewell sort of being saying quirky things at odd times and having been fired from these two different jobs in North Georgia and being someone who collected guns, for instance. And so there was enough there that the FBI absolutely should have been looking at him. What completely upended the entire case was that someone in law enforcement leaked this story to a very enterprising reporter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution named Kathy Scruggs.
Right.
And she reported the story. And so now all of a sudden this case is playing out in public as opposed to playing out behind the scenes.
Kent, today, we're hearing a lot about whistleblowers and how they need to be protected and their anonymity, I think all sensitive to this idea of due process, so that things like what happened to Richard Jewell would not happen, but still understanding, like in the other situation in Los Angeles, for example, as Kevin just reported, we allowed some due process. We were able to get to the bottom of it and realize the hoax had existed. But it just really speaks to this time about our emotions ratcheting up so much so that in our expediency to find out, the facts, to the incident, that we jump to conclusions here. And sadly, Richard Jewell and his family were the ones that took the hit.
They took the hit in a big way. Richard Jewell, his mother, Bobby. And if you take a look at 1996, you had the situation where everything had sped up. In some ways, it was the first truly viral news story bringing a man from obscurity to infamy. And as you said, Bill, 2 days, because in 1996, you had 15,000 journalists in Atlanta. You had NBC wall-to-wall coverage. You had CNN, which is already in place, but MSNBC went online a few days before. Fox News went online, not online, on air that year. Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Chicago Tribune. Everything sped up, and as you said, you got this issue with you get an echo chamber that's worse today than ever, where you've got there's a little bit of news, and then you have something called confirmation bias, where it gets repeated, and somebody else repeats it and amplifies, and before you know it, Richard Jewell was called a fat failed deputy sheriff in a national publication. He was called a village Rambo, a unidoofus. It was just horrendous. And so what we try to do in this book is tell the story of Richard Jewell. He's actually a pretty funny guy, and though he went through some horrible things with along with his mom, Bobby. But we tell the story through Richard Jewell's life and the intertwined lives of Don Johnson, the FBI agent, who in some ways made the case that wasn't, Kathy Scruggs, a wild, wonderful character played by Olivia Wilde in the movie, who broke the story. And then midway, it's their lives. And then midway through, we introduce the real bomber and three more bombings. So it's just it's a suspenseful tale. But at the end of it, the, one of the messages is about Richard Jewell and the human beings at the end of news stories, investigations, when they've gone wrong and people start jumping to conclusions.
Well, Kevin, as a veteran reporter yourself, what's the takeaway for the media out of all this?
I think the clear takeaway is slow down. You know, we have now entered a time, and really this started in 1996, in which immediacy started to overwhelm accuracy. And the demand, really, I mean, the demand for that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, the media was feeling tremendous pressure, as Kent mentioned, you know, all of these journalists in town. And, you know, this, essentially this social media story in a pre-social media era. Mm-hmm. And of course, as social media has come up with Twitter and Facebook and such, it has only accelerated all exactly. of that. And now we not only have, journalists attempting to do this, but we have the public demanding immediacy. I need to know the answer right now. And sometimes we don't know the answer right now, but it's so easy to rush to judgment, and it's so easy to pile on once someone else rushes to judgment. We're at a fairly dangerous spot from a media and public perspective.
Yeah, because what potentially is at loss here is credibility of the media, and we need credibility of the media like never before. My prayer and hope, I have to share this with you, Kevin, directly, that I'm just praying that we can reconnect here in terms of some good journalistic values and principles that I think that have been abandoned in the absence of, you know, the true, if I might say, the true and earnest pursuit of truth and the facts over expediency. Kent, we got about a little over a minute here. I'm going to let you wrap this up here for us. As the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Georgia at the time, you had a chance and you got a feel. I mean, I know Kevin as well, but you probably more directly of who Richard Jewell is and his legacy. I mean, he's since has passed away. So I'm going to let you wrap it up and bring us home.
Sure. Richard Jewell was an American hero. That's at the end of the day, I hope people recognize that. He was a good guy, he was doing his job, and he did it incredibly well, and he saved a lot of lives. And for Kevin and me, we were just we're so happy to have been able to tell this tale in sort of a suspenseful book, and equally happy that Clint Eastwood and Warner Brothers chose our book as one of the based on sources and brought us on as consultants. I think the book is the big story, and the movie is a wonderful movie and really entertaining and tells the story well in broad strokes.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It comes out on the big screens next week. The world will know his name and the truth, right?
Absolutely. I hope so.
They're the authors of The Suspect, Kent Alexander and Kevin Solwin right here. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Thanks very much, Bill.
Enjoyed it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
With more people